It's not working. No one will ever come. No one will ever figure it out. If they were going to, they'd have gotten me out by now. And I can't go on like this for years and years. It would be better to go mad and not know anymore.
Cecilia fought herself on that, in the motionless silence, screaming curses at her fears as she had never allowed herself to scream in real life. For a short time, the discovery that she had remembered so many expletives that ladies were not supposed to notice amused her. A fine talent for curses, she thought. But it was useless. No one could hear them. She forced herself back to the dry bones of accounting. Tons of hay, price of oats and bran, the cost of bits and saddles, as her hope dwindled.
How long?
Then one wakening, she found herself flooded with emotion. Not the usual fear, but joy so strong she could hardly believe she did not leap from the bed.
What?
A smell, a rich, natural scent, overlay the room's usual sterility. Leather, conditioning oil, not quite the smell of a saddle, but certainly one associated with riding. Horse and dog. Cautiously, afraid to respond now because someone might withdraw that aroma, Cecilia sniffed.
It's so sad to see her this way.
A voice she knew from before. She struggled to put a name to it. Young female, not family. Who was this?
She loved the out-of-doors so.
I'm sure they did everything they could.
Oh, of course.
A pressure against her cheek and the scent grew stronger. Her mind drank it in gratefully. Leather, oil, horse, dog, sweat. A hand that had been outdoors?
No, a hand alone wouldn't carry that scent. A glove would. A young woman wearing gloves? Why? Gloves aren't in fashion. Unless I've been mired here so long that fashion has changed again.
But I don't understand why I couldn't bring flowers. She always loved flowers, especially the aromatic ones. It smells so sterile in here.
Strong scents interfere with the room monitoring.
Oh dear. And here I came straight from the track. Should I have showered?
No, because you're just visiting. The blowers will clear it out shortly. Now I'll leave you. Just a half hour, please, and check at the main desk on your way out.
Thank you.
As Cecilia listened to the familiar soft noises of the doors, the hand never left her cheek. Then, at the final distant click of the outer door, it did.
Cecilia, it's Brun, Bunny's daughter. Dad wanted me to visit you. He couldn't believe what happened.
Bubbles, Brun.
For a moment, her mind tangled the two names. Then she remembered, with utter clarity, their last conversation.
If you have anything left at all, it's all factory. I saw your nose flare with this.
The smell came back and Cecilia rejoiced.
I'm going to try some things, smells, and see if you can respond. That was my glove. I rubbed it all over two horses and the stable dog today.
I knew that.
Cecilia could hardly focus on what Brun was saying. She wanted to cry, scream, and laugh all at once. The familiar, beloved scents faded, replaced now by a fruity tang.
Apple. I'm not supposed to have food in here. I think it's because they don't want you to smell it. I think they know you can.
Cecilia struggled to move something, anything, and felt a firm pressure on her arm.
You twitched an eyelid. If you can do it again, I'll take that as a yes.
Cecilia tried. She could not feel if she succeeded, but Brun gave her another squeeze.
Good. Now, I'm going to pretend you can hear me, because my aunt said sometimes people in comas could hear you.
Of course I can hear. I just did what you asked me to do.
Then Cecilia realized that Brun might be dealing with another kind of monitoring. She had to make this look like an innocent visit.
So, I'm going to tell you about the last hunt after you left. You know, I've always wondered what it would be like to be the fox.
A sharp stink of fox entered Cecilia's brain like a knife, clearing away the fog of anger.
Foxes are so cunning, clever beasts. I'll bet ours are smarter than old earth foxes ever were. But it must be scary, down there in the dark holes, hearing the hounds coming at the gate.
This time, a smell of dog and another squeeze. Cecilia struggled to comprehend. Brunn was trying to tell her something, something important, but she was too old, too tired, too confused.
Foxes? Hounds? Foxes in dark holes, like I am. With the hounds up there somewhere.
She could almost feel her mind coming alive now, and hoped that no brainwave monitor was on her at this moment.
Anyway, there was this kid who decided that the hunt was unfair to foxes. Too easy for us, too hard for them. His first season, he's one of the Delstanden cousins, I think. So he decided to help the fox. He understood that hounds followed the scent, so he figured if he made a false trail, we'd waste our time and the foxes would have a day off.
The alternation of fox and dog scent fit with this story. Cecilia wondered where it would lead.
But to get the fox scent, he had to find foxes himself, a den. And you can imagine what happened when Dad's huntsman found him lurking around a den.
Cecilia couldn't, but she concentrated on breaking Brunn's code. The huntsman had been signaled with the glove again. She recognized that particular mix now, as well as the constituent scents.
I thought it was kind of funny, protecting the foxes from someone who wanted to protect them.
Again, the stink of fox.
But I guess that happens sometimes.
Now a different smell, woodsy and soothing. Change of topic?
I was thinking back to the island.
Yes, change of topic indeed.
Cecilia found her memory of the island fragmented. She hoped Brunn wouldn't depend on something no longer there.
It was such fun camping there when I was a child. Now I don't know if I'll ever feel the same way about it.
This time the smell was oily, dangerous yet attractive. Not leather, metallic plus oil plus some chemical. Abruptly she recognized it. How had Brunn smuggled a weapon in here? Or was it just a cloth saturated with the smell of gun oil and ammunition? It meant danger, she was sure of that.
Oh, I wish I knew if she even heard me. My aunt says sometimes they can, but she doesn't do anything.
I need to check the monitors.
Do you think she hears anyone?
No, miss. The scans don't show anything. The doctors think she's completely comatose. I just need to check this.
Cecilia felt pressure on her head. Then a sparkle ran through her brain, bringing up a vivid picture of her own gloved hands clasped on her knee. Then it was gone.
That's all right, then. The supervisor thought I'd better check.
What?
Well, I suspect it has all that smell of horse you brought in. It seems to have clogged the monitors or something.
Sorry, Mum said to come today, and I almost forgot. I didn't have time to clean up first or anything.
You're another horse whoop?
Not like her. To tell the truth, I'm fonder of the jockeys than the horses. But I always pat the horses. The trainers like that.
Well, your time's almost up.
I know. I don't suppose it matters, really. If she can't hear me, and she certainly doesn't respond, why should I stay the whole time anyway? Is her family visiting?
Oh, yes, miss. Her sister and brother-in-law and nephew every week. Each has a special day. If you're going to visit regularly, you should put yourself on the weekly schedule. That way, the receptionist will have your tag ready, and the gate guard will have you on the list.
Oh, I don't think so. I've known her all my life, of course, but she's not my aunt. I mean, I care, but, you know, it's not like, you know.
Yes, miss.
I mean, I might come again before we go back to Siri Alice. I suppose I should, but not like every week or anything.
The wonderful smell of horse and dog and leather came back as Brunn laid her hand on Cecilia's cheek again.
Goodbye, Lady Cecilia. I'm so sorry, but your friends haven't forgotten you. You'll always have a place in the hunt.
Cecilia felt Brunn's warm lips on her face. A goodbye kiss. Someone knew at last. Someone believed. Someone outside, someone free, knew she was still alive inside and would do something about it. What, she could not imagine, or how, or when, but something. Cecilia wanted to laugh, to cry, to leap and shout for joy. Her immobility hurt worse then than it had for a long time. But hope always hurt, she remembered. hope gave the chance of failure, as well as the chance of success. She clung to that hope in the timeless dark that followed, as she replayed her memories again and again. Somewhere, sometime, someone would come and take her away from this, into the smell of horse and dog and fox, the real world. Brunn invited Sirkin to dinner. Sirkin wore, to Meharry's voluble disapproval, an expensive outfit Brunn had bought for her. Harris paced in her own small room, waiting for Sirkin to return with some word of Cecilia's condition. Petrus lounged as usual on her bed.
She'll be late. We could improve the shining hour.
And be interrupted again? No, thank you. Afterward.
Afterward didn't happen. Sirkin didn't come back until next main shift, arms laden with packages bearing the logos of expensive stores, and her expression clearly that of someone whose needs had been satisfied. Brunn came with her, wearing matching earrings and a smug look. Harris had begun to wonder if something had happened to them, and she felt almost irritated.
Sirkin, you were supposed to be back last mid-shift.
Oh, it's my fault. Well, it was easier for her to spend the night, and then we overslept.
I see, miss. Sirkin, if you could get yourself into uniform, we are having crew training this shift.
Yes, Captain.
Sirkin accepted a last squeeze from Brunn and went off to her quarters with the load of presents. Brunn waved an irreverent goodbye to Harris.
I hope you haven't made promises you aren't prepared to keep.
Not me. I never make promises at all.
Sirkin handed Harris the scrawled note later. Yes, she's there. They won't let you near her. I'll work something out. Don't worry. Brunn. Don't worry? How could she not worry? Yet, if she herself couldn't rescue Cecilia, and she had not been able to come up with a viable plan for getting her out of the nursing home and away from the planet, she would bet on Brunn. They'd just have to figure out a way to have the ship where Brunn needed it, if that meant stealing it and hiding out somewhere in the meantime.